You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam and this is
Danny Dowd.
Danny Dowd, D-A-U-D, Danny Dowd. He is our CFO and he is a CPA. He has done huge flips up in the North Shore, up in Chicago. He owns Airbnbs. He owns rental properties. He does a little bit of everything, and he is the CFO for Prosper Company, which is the umbrella companies of the things that I do every day. So super, super excited to have you. You pumped, Danny?
I'm super pumped.
We got a banger of an episode today. It's going to be good. We're going to...
Gangbanger?
It could be a gangbanger if that's what you want. This is rated E, so you go with it. But what we are going to do today is we're going to talk about the accounting tips for beginner real estate investors. We have literally a CPA slash CFO with us, so we're going to get into some things there. We're going to do riddles where I'm going to trick Danny with some riddles. True or false? Would you rather?
I'm so bad at riddles.
Straight. Well, you're going to. Lucas is really good at riddles.
Oh, yeah?
He gets.
He'll sit for me.
He gets like 2 out of 3 right every time. I'll coach you through them.
Thank you.
Then we're going to do straight real estate, some and hints. Then we are going to do motivation. So that's what we got going today. So, Danny,
why don't we start with motivation?
No. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your experience in real estate?
Oh, man. So I think we started at the same time back in 2014. So me and my wife, I'm from Chicago. We live in Highland Park, Illinois. We bought our house in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be our first flip. We still live there. We renovated it, still live there this day, but actually use the HELOC from that to do our investments.
Okay.
I've got a tax practice that's currently listed because I'm switching roles. It's a big transition right now. I got a great offer from Sam and Lucas to join the Prosper team and diving in deep.
So how many flips have you done?
So I've done 7 flips. We just started holding properties last couple of years. Got an Airbnb up north on the Bay of Green Bay. We're doing a $2 million new construction right now and doing a 3-flat renovation in Evanston.
And you, when Danny does rehabs, like we do like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 rehabs, Danny does like $600,000 rehabs. Like you completely gut the entire house, move staircases, do additions, do all the crazy shit, right?
So we got into the more boutique market. So we're on the North Shore of Chicago. So definitely a higher end market.
What are you trying to say about St. Louis, Danny?
St. Louis is awesome.
Okay, good.
It's getting there. No, I'm kidding. It's growing on me, that's for sure.
By the way, your earphone isn't even fucking close to being in right, but that's okay.
But it works.
Oh, as long as it works, that's fine. It's all about the angle, right?
Just put it. You got to help me. Why don't you help me?
It looks great. Keep going.
So we definitely do a lot more than most investors do. It's just more. We do more passion projects. It's not about the dollar amount. It's more of the brand. We're building this brand, and the North Shore is super close knit. Our properties usually sell very quickly. Or they have all sold very quickly.
And for way over price per square foot of the competition.
Yeah, it's been nuts.
By a lot.
So it's still scary because you're like, I'm over invested than I should be for the square footage. But it's worked and we're building a brand. So I think that's the most important part of all of it. And staying in that niche, you know each street by street, each market. It helps you focus and you can jump on everything right away.
I know the streets now. Me and you walk your kid through those streets multiple times up to Ravinia and back. Yes. Awesome. So we're going to start this out. So that's Danny, super experienced in the real estate game as well as, you know, the finance game. So we don't want to make this a boring one because Danny is not your typical CFO.
Right.
But we are going to do some general finance and accounting tips if you're wanting to get in the real estate game, which is most of the people listening. So Danny, it's okay to not take your accounting serious right off the bat, right? I mean, remember what me and Lucas used did to you? Remember that?
Just it makes it a lot harder.
Taking that accounting, like, it's something that you don't think about. And Lucas and I, you were with us from, like, I got to know you right when we started, but you did our books the first couple years, and you saw how much of a mess that was. And I feel like we are, I don't know if we're more organized than some, but, like, we have a little bit, but it was still a nightmare.
You were organized in the way that you had LLCs created, and you had separated everything out by business. So you had bank statements and credit cards per company,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot more than most people because most people will run your investment properties through your individual bank accounts, credit cards, and everything will get intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. And then they're like, when it comes down to do your taxes, you're like, I don't know what expenses are personal, what expenses are individual or business. It makes your life a lot easier if you start it from the beginning. It makes everybody around you, you're not going to pay as much to get your taxes prepared if you're not doing them yourself. So it's just going to make your life easier if you start it right. And there's a very, very few steps to take to do it right from the beginning.
I remember, so, Danny, when we were going through our bank
statements. Let's not even
talk. We were going through our bank statements, and it was like a year and a half ago. We hadn't filed our taxes yet. We were going through our bank statements. I remember going, like, printing out our checking account for one of our businesses. And then, like, I remember making a key in the bottom right, like, a plus sign means this property. Two plus signs mean this property. Minus sign means this property. And we have to go through every line item and plus or minus or two pluses or whatever it was to, so you knew what properties to put what expenses on.
I just remember getting phone calls from Lucas. He's like, you're not done with my returns? I was like, well, I'm still waiting on all this information.
Yeah.
And he's like, we haven't gotten you that? I'm like, no. But then you guys also had full-time jobs.
Yep.
You had a bunch of rental properties. You had in-house management. You guys didn't, you know, kind of take the step approach of, we're going to hire a management company, pay them 10%. So you kind of picked it up from the ground, which is awesome. And you had me to help you out. And I just remember that meeting with Sam, with you and Lucas at Second Street. It was a Saturday. You guys came in and we were talking for a little bit. I was working and I was like, all right, Lucas, I need help. You weren't answering any of the questions.
Because I didn't
know. And
then
Lucas is like, I'm leaving. And I was like, if you leave, I'm leaving.
Yeah, you're like, Lucas, if you leave, I'm out of here. I'm not fucking doing this without you because I have no idea what's going on.
So he stayed. We plugged it away. I think we plugged away for 2 hours, got it done. We prepared the returns and
it was a mess.
And then you asked me the next year, you're like, do you want us to send you your stuff? I was like, no.
Nope, I'm good. You go do something else. So we separated and then we made our way back to each
other.
Not
as friends.
We made our way back to each other in the accounting game. So you're back now running the show for us. As you've seen, Daniel, we grow faster than our accounting grows, which I think is usually something that holds businesses back is being able to account for things. So keeping up with accounting, I think, is huge if you want to grow. But before you grow, you have to get started. So
can I touch on something quick on that?
Touch on it.
On your so I think a lot of people, businesses, they don't focus on the financial game. If they're making money, they're not worried about counting it. They're like, we're making money, we're growing, it's great. There's a lot of opportunity cost left on the table if you're not diving deep into things until there's problems. A lot of people will just dive into when you're not making money. And that's where I got the opportunity is you guys, things slow down, the market transitioned. And then you're kind of like, what's happening? You know, where are we at? And nobody knew because there were no like legitimate financial statements provided or the timeliness of financial statements. So then we like started digging in and I think we're at a much better place financially, or at least from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, we know a lot more about I don't know how old this is.
Just drink it, man.
It's 1 to 2 weeks old, I would say. Probably not much worse, right?
I'll just drink it.
Okay, I'll drink it. Okay, so Danny, what does it look like? So somebody's wanting to get started in real estate investing, whether it's wholesaling, flipping, whatever it is, I guess, what would you suggest they do to start taking their finances seriously? Like open up an LLC, a business bank account, a credit, like to walk through the very first steps that you would suggest somebody's listening. Like, I'm going to start investing in real estate in 2024. What do they do to try not to get too much over their skis on the finance and accounting side of things?
So I would say the first step is how you're going to acquire the property.
Okay.
Are you going to acquire it on your individual name, which a lot of banks will not allow you to open up, will not lend to you as an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they won't touch LLCs. So you have to take it in as your personal name. So then you'd buy the business on your personal. You could either create an LLC to run all the transactions through that.
Is that what you would suggest?
That's what I would suggest if you had to buy it personally. Otherwise, I would create an LLC, buy the property on the LLC, run everything through that LLC. So you'd create an LLC, open a bank account for that LLC and a credit card.
Okay.
And you'd run everything through those statements. And that way you never have to look anywhere else other than your business transaction, where your business transactions are, which are those accounts.
Okay.
So I have my own LLC construction company that I run all the transactions through. Mm-hmm. And then, so all of that information is there. And then I own my my properties under their own individual LLCs. So nothing can get intertwined. If there's ever a problem with construction, we get sued on the construction side. We'll never get touched on our properties. Our properties stay separate.
So you have separate LLCs and separate bank accounts for each property?
Each property has an LLC. You guys lump them together. Some of your portfolios you have.
Do you have separate bank accounts as well as separate LLCs for each property?
I have separate, yes. So if it's a rental property, I have a separate bank account for that rental LLC. Mm-hmm.
So you're doing it to the T, which is what a CPA would
do. It's just easier. It's easier for me to keep track of things.
Not if you have 150, it's not easier.
If you have a management company booking everything individually every month, you can run it all through one bank account.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier for me to see what property, one property's income, one property's expense.
So when you have 50 rental properties, are you going to have 50 different bank accounts and 50 different LLCs?
I'll probably have a management company by then, and I'll run it through one.
Okay.
So I'd probably do it the way you're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
When I get there right now, it's easier for me because at the back end, at the end of the year, I can just go through those bank statements, knock them all out, do it all the entries at one, mm-hmm. once and be done.
Okay.
So.
No, that makes sense. I know a lot of people have that question of, do I do one property per LLC? And I know that's more kind of legal advice.
But it's more value based. Usually it's LLC, you want it per value. Mm-hmm. So our homes are more expensive. They're in like the $5+ range. That's $500+ thousand range. Just depending on how much equity,
mm-hmm.
usually you would say like I would want them individually. You guys split them out per building.
Mm-hmm.
You have each of your multifamilies have their own LLC, and then you have somewhere around like 25 to 35 per portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all depending on your safety. I say why not? It's cheap to do an LLC. Might as well separate them that way they can never touch each other.
Yep, and it's all about. You know, just trying to separate that risk out a little bit to a certain degree, but also bring in the practicality of, you know, do you have 280 LLCs or not?
Yeah, yeah. How many tax returns are you putting together?
Yeah.
The nice thing about rental properties is with the LLCs, they all go to your personal
mm-hmm.
if it's a single member LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets reported the same way on your tax return. You don't have to do multiple tax returns unless you have multiple corporations, which there's no reason to do it.
All right.
So
I got a question for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Are we back to the riddles or not doing riddles yet?
Oh, no. You're going to get riddled the fuck out is what you're going to get riddled. So if I have an LLC and, you know, I'm buying a rental property or at least looking at properties and, you know, I buy a mentorship, a community, you know, I can write off that for education. I can like write off like my mileage driving to like, can you write off like mileage and cell phone and things like that you're using for looking at real estate if you don't have an LLC, or do you have to have an LLC to have those write-offs?
So you would it becomes a lot harder to write things off or to validate them if you get audited.
If you don't have an LLC.
Correct. It's an easier way if everything is owned by the company. Whatever you buy it through the company. You're using it for the company. It's basically you're wanting to make yourself audit proof.
Okay.
That's the biggest part of this. So whatever you can put together and have it organized when you get audited, you're going to give it all to the IRS agent and you're going to say, hey, here's all my business expenses. They're all ran through my company. You know, I'm using all this for business.
Have any of your clients ever been through an audit?
Yeah, we gain a lot of clients through audits. So we'll have like a kind of a have us accountant do their books and then
Can you tell them the name of those accountants?
Sure. You guys want to know? No. But usually we gain. He's actually my plumbing and HVAC guy right now. Amazing Romanian guy. But he went through a bad audit. They were like reporting his credit cards in a weird way. They, instead of breaking them out, they just had like credit card expense as like one category
mm-hmm.
rather than like breaking out his individual transactions and just all weird stuff. So we cleaned him up and got him through that audit, but you see all that mess that if you don't have your documents right and organized, mm-hmm. it becomes a drawn out process where you're digging and diving, and that's where you get it from the beginning. You start these LLCs, you open up the bank accounts, you run everything through there. Even if you have it as an individual, you don't open an LLC, create a new bank account just for that rental property or flip or whatever you're doing that you can run all the transactions through to separate.
Yeah, because it's so this sounds a little bit scary for somebody that's not in the space. But if you start it from day one, you have an LLC, you're doing a wholesale or a flipper rental, it's really not too bad to keep track of everything if you start it from day one. And if you like want some help with setting all of this up, we have like a partner, Prime Corporate. The link's in the show Prime. Notes below. But yeah, they'll do all of this. They'll help you set up an LLC the right way. They'll let you know if you need a holding company. They will, help you do with bookkeeping. They do monthly bookkeeping. They do tax prep. They do tax filing. So like, this is not really that scary once you're in it and you're doing it every day. It's not overwhelming, but us talking about it, I feel like could be overwhelming. But you can find a partner locally or just contact Prime. They'll give you a free 45-minute consult to talk about it. So go to the show notes for that. So in general, the best things for like write-offs and being able to expense things and lower your taxable income is having that LLC set up and that bank account set up and you know, running those things separately through that company.
It's mainly you're just taking the guesswork out of the organization of these expenses. You're putting them in all one place where they're not intertwined with your personal income and expenses. And that way, it just makes it easier on everybody. And you do it from the beginning, and there's no guesswork.
How would you suggest somebody like organizing their expenses at first? Just a bank statement,
Excel. A lot of people start with Excel. They'll have tabs per like different expense, or they'll just have like a running total.
And
of
you can
all
get Excel on MacBooks, in case you didn't know that.
Well, there's a lot of that's right. We're switching over. We sponsored by Mac.
No. Yes, we're sponsored by Mac. Send them the numbers to York. They'll do it.
So there's a lot of programs like through the banks that they will. I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. But there's software that it'll kind of sum up your expenses through your bank statements, and you can download that, and it's like pre-sorted as well.
That credit card we have now does it.
Yeah, it pre-sorts it for us. So there's a lot of tools available that make your life a lot easier for downloading transactions, and you can sort them through Excel. You can sum them all up. You can like pre-sort them in Excel so where they're all categorized together. And you're doing it annually. You're not doing it monthly. You're not doing it weekly. You're not reporting. You're not worried about reporting or getting financial statements together. All you're doing is preparing return. The main goal of being organized is to prepare a tax return and that you can back it up.
Didn't you, switching gears a little bit, didn't you do your first rehab or your first couple of rehabs? Didn't you open up like a 0% for 24-month credit card and just throw a lot of it on there?
So we did a credit card. We bought some homes with cash and then pulled the HELOC on them.
Okay.
Did a lot of creative financing. We're still
You're
doing
a
creative
nut
financing.
Job, yeah.
You have to, man. We got no money.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of money. You just got to get creative.
Yeah.
Find a way.
So you use credit cards to purchase materials and things like that,
credit
right?
cards, yeah. I got kind of sick of it because then you're like balance transferring. And it's great in the beginning, right? It's like when you have to, it's no problem going through all that headache. I think as you become more, when you become busier, you don't have time to get as creative. You're like, I'll just pay the interest. And it's not the material part of it is not going to affect your end of the year. Couple percentage points, but you can definitely start off. A lot of people I know buy everything. They'll do a down payment with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah.
What's your favorite rehab project you did ever done?
Got a lot of them. They're all so different.
What's your favorite? I asked you.
I don't know if I have a favorite. You just love all of them. It's like your children. It's like asking which child do you like? Who do you like?
I like Eliza better. Yeah. What?
You're not supposed to answer that.
Everybody,
Sam.
Like my,
no, Liza's amazing.
Yeah,
Liza's a homie. Yeah.
Lucas's dad likes his sister way more. Lucas's mom likes him way more.
Yeah, I like Alice the best.
Yeah, you have one daughter one kid that makes it easier. I'm kidding, Maisie. I love you.
So I would say they're all different, right? So we went from a $500,000 sale flip to a $1.3 million sale flip. And that $1.3 million sale flip was the largest project I've done, the hardest project I've done to date.
Baldwin.
It was an 1800s farmhouse. We dug out the basement. We doubled the square footage on it. Blended the addition to, it looks like it was always there. It looks actually better than when the house was built in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome project, took 2 years. We didn't have enough money to finish it. It wasn't financially worth it.
But it was still cool. But, yeah.
But it was amazing. It's like we weren't doing it. Like, yeah, you get defeated when you're like, why are people making more money than we are? Mm-hmm. But we're also chasing passion. I think I always chase like what I want to do rather than what makes more money.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people that are chasing money.
So we don't have to pay you for your CFO roles?
You do whatever you want, man. Okay. It's just right, whether perfect. Whether I show up or not show up. But yeah, all of them are cutting your teeth. Mm-hmm. I did a project on a ravine. We had some retaining wall issues, and that was like a lot of legwork with the engineering. But we were getting all these prices because nobody wants to touch them. They're way far gone. They're not worth it. The lots are kind of weird shaped. You can't build per the code, the city code. You can't tear it down and build. But the house is outside of those parameters because they were built so many years ago. We can actually renovate them and turn them into really cool projects. Mm-hmm. And they're really great locations. So, but I would say Baldwin. But I would say my favorite house was Briarwood. It's as far as a home itself. It wrapped around the ravine from the master. It looked like you were floating in the ravine because mm-hmm. you couldn't see the ground. It was just like the little creek.
A lot of windows in the
back.
A lot of
all floor-to-ceiling windows. That was legit. Mm-hmm. We were trying to build. We're doing the new construction spec. We got stumbled on it. Last year we closed in April on this plot of land that we were going to build on, and it's an L-shaped property, and we designed this beautiful Scandinavian ranch home, super modern. We've been watching a lot of if anybody watches The Local Project, check it out on YouTube. It's all like Scandinavian
and the Faster homes. And same and Faster Freedom on YouTube.
Faster Freedom first, and then
yes,
and then The Local Project
if you have time.
Yeah, just have them both on so Sam won't get mad.
There you go. You don't want to see me fucking mad.
We'd have to deal with you tonight when we get home.
Yes. Danny stays at my house when he comes
to
town.
And I cook and clean.
So back to the CFO type of, yeah, you do cook and you do clean. You balance the hot tub every time you're in town. The hot tub's out of whack.
Get the chemicals balanced.
I'm still itching from whatever the hell you put in it last night. My whole back itches.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't have ear infections.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever you did last night, my entire body itching. Like it still itches. I feel like I have like a rash.
We don't have ear infections.
No, I don't have. I'm not going to have
your
any
dad gave us some strong chemicals. We went over to Sam's house last night and I asked his dad for some chemicals.
And he gave us something. Danny dumped in the hot tub and then said, let's get in. But anyways, so we did that. So back to the CFO.
I can
CFO.
Hear you, so we're good.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. You look good.
No, there's no infections.
Oh, there's no infections. Sorry. Perfect. So when Danny comes in town, he lives in Chicago, as we mentioned. He's our CFO of our companies down here. He comes in town once a month for a week and then does the remote virtual stuff in the meantime. So it's a lot taking the accounting side of real estate and doing it the right way. So can your kids be employees? I know that's a thing.
They can. So you can
pay them a certain amount and write it all off.
Yeah. So there's you got your standard deduction. You can pay your children, your dependents, a salary, mm-hmm. and then write it off. So it's every year the standard deduction changes. But you can give them salary for that amount.
This is usually like 18 grand or something like that.
It's I think it's $1,250. It's going to go up to $14. But it changes every year. So right around, for 2024, it's $14,250 or something.
Okay.
So you can give that much in salary and they won't pay any taxes on it. So nice. So it's, you can do it. It adds up if you have 10 kids.
Yep. Reason to have more kids.
Yeah.
Well, I have
give
like
salaries.
Well, and especially if they're like doing like I have the girls in videos quite a bit. That's marketing.
That's so right.
That's pretty
you're
easy.
You're actually employing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter works.
Yep.
For us.
Yeah. You better get her shit done, Alice. Get on your shit.
I tell her every day I come home.
Like
I'm you're 16 months.
Get to work.
Why haven't you done anything?
Yeah, you lazy ass. So which one of these things can count on as write offs, Daniel? Can you write off a vehicle?
So you can write off, you can depreciate a vehicle if you purchase.
So what's the difference between depreciation and write-off? Let's go there.
So a depreciation is you do not have to buy the asset. You do not have to pay for the asset. You can pay for it. You don't have to pay for it. So you don't have to actually buy something with cash to write it off. You acquire a vehicle either with a loan or cash. And you would, if you buy a vehicle, you depreciate it, meaning you take its useful life over a period of time, mm-hmm. and you write a percentage of it off.
So that's why you're saying, so I could, if I bought a vehicle 3 years ago, I could write off a certain percentage of it this year.
Yeah, so like there would be, you never depreciated it because it was a vehicle you bought.
Depreciation over time, and write-offs is like that year, that what you spend that year.
So a write-off, yeah. So if you're expensing something, you say,
like
I bought
a new MacBook.
I bought a pen.
Like a new MacBook that Tyler's going to
make me buy. Depreciate a MacBook too.
You can?
Yes.
That's a, what? That's
so
computer.
Anything, yeah. Usually
so you'd write off $80 a year?
No, you, well, you would do it over its useful life. You, there's
what is
bonus,
useful life of a MacBook?
There's bonus depreciation, so you would do bonus depreciation with the MacBook. You'd
what's
take
the useful
off.
Life of a MacBook, Daniel?
Say, T-York, was it?
T-York says 100
he's
years.
He's like, for life. Mac
4 to 5 years is yeah. what they're saying.
So you would you'd either do it over 5 years or you'd do it, you'd do bonus depreciation now so you can get up to 80% of it written off in the year you purchased it.
Which is what it is this year. Okay, yeah. what about a vacation? Can you write off a vacation or do you depreciate a vacation?
If it is for work and you were there just specifically for work, you can write off 100% of it.
What about like what if I'm going to go down to Florida 30A? Like legitimately, I'm going to buy a house down there. Like I go look at a few properties. Like
you'd
I,
write a portion of it.
Yeah,
off.
Like 25%.
Yeah,
you
would say like 25% was it this? We did this. You would have to. You would get pamphlets. You would kind of like you would have to kind of drum up.
Yeah, you
want to
actually
information that
you
did
actually
do it.
Do it. Yeah, yeah.
You're
no,
gonna
I'm
do
not
it.
Trying to tell people to do something.
I'm
yeah,
not, yeah. I'm just saying you would have to just. So they say like if you go to a seminar.
Wink, wink.
A personal, like a business seminar, but then also you're there for personal. You would write off a portion of the time you're there for the seminar. You would have to like just kind of prove that you were at the seminar, and then also it was personal.
Yeah.
So,
what about golfing on vacation?
Just you gotta taste it. You can't smell it. Like, what if there's iodine in there?
Is that gross? It's fucking a week old, T-York. It's actually kind of cold. Is it cold in this room when we're not in here?
Is it yours?
Yeah, for sure. This is from, I just like
for
last
sure.
week when
Lucas
we did.
Lucas doesn't drink it? Just kiss Lucas.
Done it before. Just kidding. I have not. Cut that part out. Just kidding. All right, so what about golfing?
So golfing, there's some gray areas with these social events, but,
yeah, that's
but
why
you
I'm
can
like,
write them. Yeah. But you can write them off if you're taking out, if there's
a client, or
if
something.
You're taking out clients and it's for marketing, you guys are talking about business. You can write off dinners. You can write off golfing
percentages
events
or all of it.
Yeah. There's entertainment, there's percentages and there's, usually you can write them off if it's legitimately for business.
Yeah.
Entertainment meals and entertainment are usually 50%. There's
like entertainment, like strip club entertainment or like
whatever the entertainment is.
Ooh, T-York. Are you guys old enough to go to strip clubs? Nope. Dang it.
They can get into the 18.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So
no alcohol. Usually most of them don't have alcohol. Not that I know about strip clubs. I'm not a big strip club person.
Sound like you know
I do
quite
like
a bit.
Dancing though.
Sound like you know quite a bit.
Hey, when I was 18, I got a, no. And then I realized, well, I didn't know I wasn't a strip club guy until I went to a couple and I was like, I'm not a strip club guy.
Yeah.
So I do know the rules.
There's some people in this office that love them. There's some people that don't. So how much, so like my mortgage on my rental properties, can I write off my mortgage? Do I the principal and interest, just the interest?
So you depreciate the home.
Okay.
So a residential home is 29 and a half years.
27 and a half, I think.
26, you're right. Look at this. I gave up my tax practice, bro. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, great. Because they were paying you for tax stuff.
Well, you're not paying me for tax stuff.
What are we paying you for then?
For big picture financial stuff.
Okay.
So we got Beck.
We got BEC. Yep. Go.
So you depreciate the home. That's your write-off. So 27 and a half years, you depreciate the property itself. You write off your mortgage interest and property taxes.
Okay.
So you get the interest expense, you get the tax deduction.
So that comes
on the
personal
off.
I pay $1,500 in tax on my rental. I get $1,500 written off of the top line income.
Yes, interest. Yeah, but your actual principal payment you do not write off, but you get the depreciation expense.
Okay.
So the 27 and a half, the property value divided by 27 and a half years. It's not
and
straight
it's 30,
line.
And it's 39 for commercial, in case you're wondering.
And it's 39. Look, you're just all over it, man. Let me see your notes, bro. You get notes?
Nope.
There?
I got my CPA license. You didn't know that?
You probably did.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't. Yeah, you don't.
No.
You walked out of our tax meeting today, which was about your taxes.
Yeah.
And you left the meeting.
I got time
that's
for
like
that.
It's very, very important.
You guys got that.
I know.
So you can write quite a few things off. So let's round this section out before we get into riddles, which I'm ready to stump you, make you look like a fucking idiot.
I'm such an idiot.
in general, I tell people, tell me, be honest, is this good advice?
No.
Okay. Moving on. No. So I tell people when they're starting, anybody, but especially when they're starting in our community, like, go set up an LLC. You can decide if you're going to finance your property in LLC or not. I would suggest it, but you can definitely finance it personal. But having that LLC will allow you to be able to more easily write off this community, write off some mileage, write off your cell phone if you're using it for work, write off part of your home office if you have an office at your home. Like, you're able to write things off more clearly, as well as potentially build business credit. Even if you're buying your first rental property in your personal name, still have that LLC. Would you say that's good advice?
I would say so. If you're going to follow through with it, I would. Well,
people in my community do.
That's right.
We have 200 over, well over 200 million owned.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
The one thing I would say is if you're not 100%, open up a separate bank account. But I would say if you're committed and you're going to do it, open up an LLC. Just the main thing is spending the money. I've got a lot of my clients, they'll set up LLCs, never use them, and they spend $1,000, whatever. Or if you hire someone, it's a little more. But whatever.
Through
it is.
Prime, their first LLC is like $200-$300.
Let's go Prime.
$200-$300.
That's nothing.
I know. Yeah. It's the state filing fees. That's it. It's free. Right. The actual legal work is free.
Yeah, all it is they're paying. For Prime. They're paying for our link,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
You know why they do that? They give a free 45-minute consult for free, even if you sign up or not, and then they give discount service everything, because the catch is our students, our community members, have such a higher likelihood of being successful and using their services in the future. They give them the free up front because they're going to be successful and they'll pay them down the line.
Big picture thinking.
Okay, so Danny, you know why else I tell people to set up LLCs?
Why is that?
Ikigai. No, because it unagi. Okay. No, because it's the mindset of it.
Are you just saying random Japanese words?
Yes, I was for a minute, but now we're past that. That was like a little like Japanese, like little like spasm. But so
we're not doing Tourette's.
No, we're not doing Tourette's. No, this is our guy right here. In case you're wondering. This is all a joke. He's not an actual CFO. He has no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
They got me up the parking lot.
Some guy that was in a parking lot smoking a doobie and by the trash cans, like, hey, you want to be on a podcast? He said, sure. So I tell people to start an LLC.
So they gave me what I had to say and had to stick to the script.
Yes, that's why he sounds like a robot. So
I am robot.
So there is... have an LLC, the mindset of it, Dowd. Like, if you have an LLC, you're a small business owner, you're going to create business cards, a logo probably, an email, maybe a website. But if it's like, if you're thinking about investing in real estate, like you said, if you're not willing to take a chance or whatever, it'll always be this thing on the side, right? Like you said, if you're not willing to actually do it. But setting up an LLC, spending the $2,000 or $3,000 that it takes, or having Prime do for cheap, or however you do it, it's just the mindset to me is you're a small business owner now.
Yeah.
You own an LLC. I feel like,
well, you're committed. You're committing yourself. You're diving
in. It's just another level. You're not fully committed, but it's another level of
commitment.
You're committed. Spend a little bit of money.
Life is about commitment or not commitment.
Are you
going to do it or not do it?
Are you going to do it?
Hell yes, I'm going to do it.
All right.
What are we talking about?
You going to fly on jet tomorrow?
I think so.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see how the rest of this interview goes. All right. So that was exactly how I expected it to be, all over the place. But hope there was some tips in there, right?
Dude,
we kept it.
You kept us to the script.
I don't like playing Lucas. I'm the one that kills us all over the place. Lucas is the one that keeps us on the track. I'm the one that derails us.
Well, you're going to have all the clips. You're going to be on the clips.
I have to do both.
They're going to be like, what was this guy talking about? But we can talk. Sam was.
Yeah, we can't cut up anything you fucking said.
Like,
you can cut up some of the stuff I said. All right, here we go. Riddle me this. This is where, I think it's almost 100% of the time Tyler can attest to this. Literally, so there's three riddles, right? Hey, Danny, he always gets one right. He always gets one way wrong. And then the third one, he says an answer that's not the answer to the riddle, but it kind of makes sense still.
Okay.
So we'll see how you do.
Lucas is a pretty smart guy, though.
What? So just
weren't these math questions?
Think very literal here. What is at the end of everything?
Nothing.
What is at the end of everything?
G.
Yeah, he got it. See? You didn't think you'd get one? You got that one.
I got it.
That's the answer. Why are you not excited? Gosh, you're a weird fucking
man. You think you
man.
Like want something and then you get it, you know?
We're talking about riddles, goodness gracious. All right. Have we done your 90-day review yet? Are you still in your probationary period, or are we past that?
I just got my bonus.
Gosh dang it. All right. Yeah, you did. All right. So what runs in the backyard but never actually moves?
York's trying to cheat for me.
Stop it.
I was going to say mower, but the mower moves.
Yep.
But it runs. It does run, and it doesn't move. It doesn't have to move to run. Right? A mower? Lawn mower?
Is that a half one? It's a fence.
He gave me a fence. Yeah, he tried to cheat.
Fucking stop it.
He's
already,
trying to be nice.
All right, ready?
My boy. No, that's my boy. That's why.
Well, he just want to make you look like
but the lawnmower doesn't work.
The
mower doesn't work if it runs and it doesn't move, but doesn't move.
But
if
it
it's
never
running.
Actually moves. That lawnmower does actually move eventually.
It will, but it doesn't have to. It can run and not move.
All right, people make me, save me, change me, and raise me. What am I?
People make me, change me,
save me, and raise me.
What am I?
Money. See?
That's good. That's a good one.
That was a Lucas
that's a good one.
One. That was one and a half.
That's
that
a
was
good.
A Lucas one. Even
I'll
though you
take
got
it.
Some help.
The mower was.
It's a half one. It kind of works. It's not the right answer, but it kind of works.
Like, it does vibrate, so that moves, right?
There you go. That's one way to look at it. I don't even know what that face was. Zoom in on that and use that as some type of screenshot somewhere.
A GIF. Turn into the GIF.
It's a GIF, right? Or is it a GIF? GIF, like a gift, but without the T. They don't know. They're young. All right. Okay. True or false?
It's forever.
A segment where Danny tries to stump Sam.
Oh, shnikes.
All right. Go ahead. Read them.
True or false?
True. You have to ask a question.
I'm just waiting, man. Just.
Do I have to read them as well? Can you not read?
I can't read. I can't see. I'm kidding. All right, golf balls have 300 to 500 dimples.
Isn't it funny that I get the true or false and Lucas gets the like endless answer ones?
Well, of course, because you wouldn't be able to answer any of this.
So I think that's just such a weird, that's such a wide range. It seems like too many, but I guess I'm going to say true. Is it true?
We'll see at the end. We'll tally them up at the end and give you results.
Okay.
Just make you because if I give you confidence now, you're gonna do better. If I keep you neutral, we'll see where things go. The tradition of dyeing Easter eggs started in France.
That's the thing about this true or false. There are zero hints to any of them. Like you like the riddle me is there's hints in there. I'm going to say true.
Okay. Wait, we'll wait on that one too. Canada has the longest coastline on Earth.
What else would be near that? China's probably got a long coastline. India probably has a long coastline. There's some big African countries. South America, I don't think so. There's some stuff on the border there, but I don't think that's enough. If you're including the northern coastline of Canada,
Antarctic?
Yes, true.
How about Antarctic?
Well, how much of that is ice versus, like, you know what I mean?
But isn't it, like, that's water?
What?
Eventually hits water if it's attached to ice. That is water.
But it could be like Antarctica could be this big, but the ice could be that big and making the...
Is that not making coastline?
No. What is the answer, Danny? You little shit.
Are you ready?
Yep.
You got two of three.
That's usually how
Which
it works.
Which one was it?
I have no idea, Danny. I don't
have
the answers in front of me.
You have no more confidence towards no. others? So you got the dimples.
It's true.
True. You got the dimples and you got Canada.
Dang, so Easter
eggs. So Ukraine.
Where were Easter eggs?
Ukraine made Easter eggs.
That
the tradition started in Ukraine. Don't they make those like Ukrainian dolls? Those like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of that sense, right?
No, nope, not at all. An egg and a doll are
painted,
not the same thing. No. Nope.
Painted balls. It's all like painted balls, man. Oh, they have. Oh, the Russians have those like really expensive Easter eggs. Those not the Easter eggs, but the.
Just keep going. Yeah, you're.
Ukrainian dolls.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with Easter eggs, Bubs.
Dude, they have them in there. When you get to the end, it's an Easter egg.
It is not. Okay.
Come on, Prim.
Awesome. Great. So, Luke, would you rather? This is a game we both play. How much
you
time?
You just call me Luke?
No. All right. Would you rather listen to one song for the rest of your life or never be able to listen to the same song twice?
I would definitely never be able to listen to the same song twice.
I would definitely just listen to one song the rest of my life.
Would you?
Yeah, you know how much I like repetition and things.
I know. You would just listen to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Is that one song? You would have to listen to one song in Hamilton.
I just wouldn't listen to it. If I didn't want to hear a song, I wouldn't listen to it.
No, you have to listen to it on repeat.
No, that's not. You can't. You don't make up the rules. This is my fucking podcast. This is the only time you're going to be on it. For sure. All right, moving on. Number two. Would you rather dumpster dive for food or ask customers outside a restaurant to buy you a meal?
Buy me a meal.
Yeah, you have no shame. You
have
no
shame.
Dignity.
I would be at their table.
Like, are you going to finish
family?
That?
No, like family. They would take me in as family.
Oh, you're saying you would like
schmooze
them?
I would schmooze in there. I'd just...
Well, okay, what would you say?
Give someone a massage.
Me and Courtney are going on a date. Like, well, how are you going to ask us to join us? What are you
going to say? I wouldn't ask you. Because you'd be ordering chicken.
So you'd rather go hungry than eat chicken?
I'm not going to eat chicken in a restaurant.
Even though when Danny comes and stays at my house, he buys five whole chickens. He cuts them in half and cooks them, and they're just chicken grease and guts all over my freaking house for 3 days.
But then we eat like savages.
Whatever. All right. Would you rather work?
What I would do to you if I came.
What?
I was going back to your question.
I don't want to know. Would you rather work cleaning up toxic waste or as a mortician's assistant? So would you rather clean up toxic waste or would you rather work with dead people?
I'd say dead people because I don't want to die from the toxic waste. Are we like 100% safe?
I think you're sanitary either way, yeah.
Oh, maybe
like neither detrimental
waste
to your health, but you're still around.
I'd open up my gloves or some. I'd break something and then inside the dead bodies.
You don't mind dealing with dead people?
I'd rather that, and then I could live, not die.
I don't know. It's a tricky one. I think I'd probably do. I don't know. I don't know, like. I don't have like a queasy stomach, but like I mean, like I.
You'd get used to it.
Yeah, and I.
Just chop that
cut
shit
deers
up.
Open and freaking rip their guts out. Yeah. So
we're cutting them open or just like dressing them up?
Well, morticians assist whenever that does.
They just dress them up.
Yeah.
Embalm them.
Okay. Embalm them.
Embalm them.
Embalm them.
Embalm. Is it bomb or bomb? Embalm. Embalm.
All right. Moving on. Straight real estate. If someone wants to start setting their business up properly, entity structure, but they don't have a lawyer, what should they do? So let's talk a little bit about that, and then let's talk a little about the 2024 real estate market. How's that sound?
That's beautiful. I love it.
All right. So if somebody like doesn't know, so we talked about a lot of things, and I did a little plug for these guys earlier, but like we don't like – I don't make any money when you call Prime for your free 45-minute consult. It's free. And even when they set up your LLC and you pay them a couple $100, I don't make any money. So it's legitimately to help you. So if you want someone to like walk you through all this stuff in a little more detail in a 45-minute setting to where you're on a Zoom call and they're walking through the structures of everything and giving you like a clear picture at your next move and they say, we can do it for you or you can go do it on your own. That's it. Definitely go to the show notes, or if you're on YouTube, go to the description below. Schedule your free call with Prime, only if you're serious about getting the ball rolling. But it's a huge resource. It is our number one partner we have. All of our students use them, and you're getting kind of an insight thing that students only really get just for being part of the podcast. So pretty cool.
And biggest thing about these professionals is they're going to pay for themselves.
Yes, by a lot.
So you're like, oh, I don't want to spend whatever it is later with these expenses. They are going to. You see it with BEC. They just get everybody gets super creative. The professionals know what to write off. They know your business. They're gonna waive. You know.
Yeah, you're. Gonna, I mean, you're. It's yeah. like it's like going out and making money. Like you literally are.
Yeah.
And it's
and you have to do less work.
And it's similar with education. I always say this, and I hear people say this a lot. It's so true. Like. You're paying for education, whether you're paying for it up front by somebody teaching you or you're paying it by being inefficient and losing equity or losing money on deals. Like either way, you pay for it and time.
Time is the number one thing.
Either way, you pay for it. Yeah. Let's do that one into Motivation Monday. All right. So
Motivation Monday.
What do you think about the 2024 real estate market? This comes out on a Monday, so that's why we did Motivation Monday.
Sorry. It's Monday.
Well, they can know it's Tuesday. It's usually Fridays when we record these. Okay. They know that. Our peeps know. What do you think about the real estate market down into 24?
So it's hopeful. I was shitting my pants last year when we were under contract with our new construction property.
Yeah.
Because the market was just going crazy and we didn't know where it was going. And
was it runny shit or was it like solid?
It was just shit everywhere.
Okay.
But it's, I think 2024 is looking hopeful. The biggest thing is that mortgage. I think mortgage rates are going to help. I think mortgage rates are going to slowly tick down, which will drive up the demand. So this is going to be, I think that's the biggest thing for rental properties is stopping us from buying a lot of properties because of that. It's just a lot of numbers don't work financially. Mm-hmm. But I'm hopeful for 2024 market. We've got two of our properties becoming active. $2 million new constructions going live, I think, hopefully February.
Same with your threeplex?
And then threeplex will be rented.
You should do one of those sons of bitches, midterm or short term. Just try it. One, no?
Just time commitment, finding someone local. But it's not a bad idea to turn all of our stuff short term. Our place across from Door County is crushing it. We just have an amazing person that caretakes for it.
There's somebody like that in that.
There is. You just got to look for it and run. Yeah.
Yeah. So in generally, I think like real estate always goes up in value overall in aggregate. There's little dips here or there. That's understandable. But in 2024, I'm pretty confident that the market is going to remain strong. And if there is any type of like dip in the strength of the economy or strength in the real estate market, I think the lower interest rates and they just buoys it. The interest rates are kind of like a buoy system right now. Like, they raised them up so quickly and they kept going because the market remained pretty strong. So as soon as if they drop interest rates, prices will skyrocket. So if somebody's waiting to invest for the perfect time,
never good timing. It's just whether the deal works or not. That's the biggest difference is with interest rates is they stop deals if you're going to hold properties from working cash flow wise. Mm-hmm. Where we felt the effects of the interest rates is we just had a property we launched this year. I think in June I launched it for rental. It was on the rental market for 3 months. Couldn't get anybody at the price point we needed to, and I think we were even breaking even with our corporate interest rates at that term we needed. So we were forced to sell it. So it does stop you from renting some, but then also they're trying to cap the market, right? They don't want these properties skyrocketing in value. So they're bringing these interest rates down or bringing them higher. So more people would not want to buy them at higher.
They're just trying to slow down the pace that everything was at because of inflation, but also real estate ties tied to inflation because of assets. So same thing, very similar. But, and then a big option that I'm huge on for 2024. That's what I kind of why I mentioned to you though, is midterm rentals. I think it's going to be, because I don't think interest rates are going to go down substantially.
Yeah, you need
I would be shocked
rentals.
If they went down more than a point next year total. Yeah. I would be surprised if they went down much more than a half a point. So it's not going to make a huge difference on cash flow. But getting those midterm rentals literally doubles your cash flow, if not more than that. Like you get your expenses hit a certain point, and that's all how much rent you bring in. So you don't always get double or triple rent, but the fact that your expenses basically remain the same, you get, all the numbers I've ran on projects, it's like you $500 to $700 a month difference after everything. So that usually takes it from.
And midterms are hands off.
Yep. So you take it from, low cash flow to high cash flow or no cash flow to cash flow. Either way, it makes so many deals work that you wouldn't keep in hold.
You guys have a midterm course coming out.
We do have one. It'll be out about when this comes out.
Can we talk about it?
Well, we can a little bit. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. It's a 75 to 80 video course on everything you need to know about buying midterms, distress, fixing them up, furnishing them, how to manage them, how to deal with furnish finders, how to contact the agencies. It's like everything you need. Midterms are somewhat newer of a commodity, out in the investing space, and nobody has, like, we're the first to market on this size of a course, this side of us, this size
of first on a lot of things
of guidance. Yes, I mean, we weren't first on selling a BRRRS type of, but this is we're first to, so which is huge. So I think this is this has a lot of potential because people, you just need to own assets over time to create wealth. Equity or your wealth is created through equity and assets, whether it be businesses or whether it be houses, apartments, whatever it may be. So figure out how to buy those assets and let them pay for themselves. And midterms will help people buy assets that they couldn't buy doing the long-term route. So I'm super excited about it. It's going to be introduced to everybody in our community. And then we're going to have it a little one-off a la carte course as well. So I think it's going to help a lot of people go from the sidelines to the game and create wealth that wouldn't have done it anyway. So I'm pumped about it, man.
It's amazing.
All right, so.
Got to make money while you're sleeping.
Yes, that
otherwise
is ideal.
You're a prisoner.
That is part of it, too. Right. Make money while that's an aggressive way to put it, but yes. Yes. So, Daniel, talk about
person.
What?
I said I'm an aggressive person.
You are extremely aggressive. You come in hot with everybody you deal with, for sure. I heard you were giving, you gave like 4 massages today in the office already, right?
Hey.
There you
go. See how many deals I close.
There you go. So what is your what is your thoughts on paying for education? And you know that makes some people, that gives some people the ick, paying for like support and paying a guru.
I think when I first started this whole thing,
did it give you the ick too?
It did. I think a lot of people do it for the wrong reasons. They mm-hmm. push their courses. I've been part of some of those boot camps mm-hmm. where they just, you can usually tell right away if they're genuine people, how they come across, how they're pushing you, not if they're just talking about money and, oh, you want this money and just pay us and you're going to become rich. Like mm-hmm. you can usually
spot,
you can really
easily
spot it. I think you guys are amazing because you're very genuine and you figured something out and you break it down and you say it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it complicated. I always make things way too complicated.
That's cause true.
It's just the way I am, and I'm learning to scale that down and just be systematic. Mm-hmm. So you guys have put together a fail-safe approach to this stuff to where if you have to just – all you have to do is work and want it. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing, is if you want it bad enough and you work at it, you guys have the ticket, the keys to the kingdom.
The keys of the kingdom. I like it. No, I agree. I just think it's – in general with people – the point I was making a little bit earlier with people like saying, I don't want to pay $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 for something I can learn on my own. Well, it's like you're going to pay more than that if you do it on your own, because you're probably not going to get started, or you're going to buy one in a year rather than 5. Or even if you do your Burr deal or do things the right way or sell a flip for a profit, if you had guidance, you would have made more profit or you'd have more equity in that rental. So you pay for it either way. It's just, when do you pay for it? How much do you pay? If it's the right mentorship community, which ours is, but we don't even make sales pitch about ours. Ours is, if it's the right one, you will save/make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 12-18 month period.
I think time is the most
important.
Yeah,
so 10 grand to save 250 grand. Like if you could, like if I'm like, you give me 10 grand, I'll give you back 250 grand in 18 months. You'd say yes. That's 100%. What it is with the right community.
That's right.
If you're willing to take action. We don't want people's money if they're not willing to take action. And most legitimate, you know, content course creators, whatever you want to call it, would say the same thing. If you're not going to take action, we don't want mm-hmm, your money. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to take action, there's no better place to put your money. I think when I can ever reference him, Hormozy, everybody loves, I like him too, but like he's like the golden child, right? Like anytime like his name is referenced,
well, he
as
gives
like,
everything away for free.
But his name is referenced as like a starting point for so many different conversations. Yeah. Like Hormozy said that, which is all true. So I'm going to do that right now. Hormozy said multiple times, he said, if I made 75 grand a year, I would spend $75,000 on education, every single dime on education. So if you don't listen to me, listen to Hormozy. And if you want interest in our community, let me know. If not, that's fine. Go find a community that you're interested in and go all in. You'll be much more successful.
Well, the biggest thing they're paying for you is organizing all of this information into a model that you can follow.
Yes.
So
the right people
are. Time and it's time commitment. It's a little bit of money now, but it's all the information you need to go and do it on your own.
And you're going to spend it either way, like I said, with inefficiency. So can I round this out with this? I want you to rate your performance on the podcast. I'm going to
should I say it was really bad?
Yeah, so that's what we're
really
telling the story. So Danny, so Lucas and I had dinner with Danny a few months ago. He was like 90 days into his role. And we're like, so I think Lucas asked him, you know, how would you rate yourself?
Well, you guys said this was not a typical 90-day review.
Well, correct. Well, that's, obviously it was a typical 90-day review. We were at a really nice restaurant and we were having fun. But I was like, you know, one of us, Lucas, mentioned, so how would you rate your first 90 days? Like, how would you rate yourself? And you're like, I don't know. Like, I tend to be hard on myself. I didn't have all the information and the, you know, it's a little bit hard being, so I don't really know. I don't want to be too hard on myself, but I'll give myself 8.5. We're like, oh, okay. Like you don't want to be hard on yourself, but you give yourself an 8.5. So it was pretty,
I think,
funny.
I was lower than, I still was still lower than Lucas.
I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I'd say like
give
a six. You're
six,
like, not 9.5 out of 10.
I was thinking 5 or 6 and I was like, I got to sell myself. I got to believe.
Cause
myself.
You were looking for a raise. Yeah.
Trying to get that. No kidding.
How would you rate your podcast performance?
7?
I would say 7.5 C's. C's get degrees.
Yeah.
perfect.
Getting better though. It's getting less awkward, I think.
Yeah, you're still pretty awkward. Crumble it up. Throw it in the trash can.
Are we rating?
We just did.
Oh, we got a.
Yeah. I rated you 7.5. You gave yourself 7.
Do we rate the podcast?
Like, did we?
What'd you rate yourself?
Me? Probably.
You're
like,
very mean on this podcast.
Well,
you're kind of a mean person sometimes.
Yeah,
though.
That's somebody's got to be. Can't all be. You just know my business partners. Can't all be sunshine and fucking rainbows. Shoot it.
And he broke the fucking mic.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.